Okay, let's begin now with our discussion. The first topic is going to be on the mitzvah of Shechita. Again, the marmakomas that you got outline the first couple of topics. I want to discuss the mitzvah of Shechita and how that relates to Birchas Shechita as well, and then the question of Basar Taiva and Nechira, which also relates to the history of Hilchos Shechita in a way. And then I want these topics overlap with each other. Then I want to just pin down a little bit more the relationship between Shechitas Kadshim and Shechitas Chulin. And that'll also include already the first daf in the Gemara. We'll give you Mar Makomos for that as we go forward. But if you already finished everything else and you want to start looking at daf base on Aleph, base on base, the Gemara's suggestion of how to read the Mishnah, the question of Chulin Shenasu Al Taros HaKodesh, that's going to be important for that. But we're going to expand a little on that, the relationship between Shechitas Kadshim and Shechitas Chulin. And then in general, maybe speaking about just a little bit more about the relationship between the physical act of Shechita and the Chalos that is created, the legal formal act of Shechita, we could call it, which I think is important as in terms of establishing perspective. So that's we're going to do those topics first. And that'll be jumping around a little bit as we do that. And then after that, we're going to be going straight according to the Dabin. So our first topic is the mitzvah of Shechita. The historical background, halachic historical background of the mitzvah of Shechita is obvious to anybody who is schooled in Chamisha Chumshei Torah. When man was created, Adam HaRishon, so he was permitted to eat from the peros and yirakos of Gan Eden. That seemed to be a simple enough tzivui, but obviously got him into all sorts of trouble, as we know. I don't want to usurp the parshios too much in advance, but Adam's exit from Gan Eden unceremoniously is because he was not able even to manage that simple tzivui. But for our purposes, what's important about that tzivui is that it excluded implicitly, Torah doesn't say it explicitly, but Torah says that Ribbono Shel Olam gave Adam HaRishon permission to eat from the eitz and from the irakos of the gan. But implicitly, Chazal understood that there was a prohibition to eat basar. He was not allowed to eat meat. And that changes in the time of Noach in a very important context, after the Mabul, and in the context of a recreated world. So part of that recreation includes a heter v'achilas basar. Torah says, "Vayvarach Elokim es Noach es banav, vayomer lahem pru urvu milu es haaretz." Even though that was already stated earlier, but this is part of the recreation of the world. When you recreate a world, anytime you recreate a world, so you have to pay close attention, to the relationship between continuity and novelty, right? What you're recreating, so does that mean, Olam Kimin Hago Noeg, everything is as it was? Or are you going to change things, especially since the world ended for abruptly and catastrophically for good reason? So maybe it's better to reformulate, to reassess. How much continuity, how much disruption and innovation? So this is the Ribbono Shel Olam's charge to Noach in the aftermath of the Mabul. Number one, we're told, Pru Urvu Milu Es Haaretz again, meaning that stands, although maybe it's formulated in a different way. We're not going to go into that right now. Morachem v'chitchem ye'al kol chayas haaretz v'al kol ov hashamayim v'chol asher tumos ha'adama v'b'chol dgei hayam b'yadchem nitanu. But the relationship between man and the other creatures that inhabit the world, namely the animals and the birds and everything else, that changes with the change in world order. And one of the things that changes is the heter of achilas basar. Kol remes asheru chai lachem yeh la'achla, ki yerek esev nasati lachem eskol. Ach, however, this heter of basar, which is novel, which is new, doesn't come unqualified. It is significantly limited. Ach basar benafsho, damo lo sochelu. Eiver Minacha. The Achas Dimchem Lenashosechem Edrosh, Miad Kol Chaya Edroshenu, Miad Ha'adam, Miad Ish Achiv Edrosh Es Nefesh Ha'adam, Shofech Dam Ha'adam, Ba'adam Damo Yishofech, Ki B'Tzelem Elokim, Asa Asa Adam, Ba'atem Pru Urvu, Shirtzu Ba'aretz, Urvuva. Very fascinating psukim. So we have Pru Urvu mentioned again twice, and if we focus on the details, we'll see a little bit differently than in Bereishis. Again, not for now. Secondly, Morachem Chitken, the relationship with animals changes. Now, whether that represents man's lower status or his advancement, that's a machlokes, different views in Chazal. And if you look at the Rishonim, here in Parshas Noach and earlier in Bereishis, in particular the Radak and the Ramban, they speak about this. Does is it because, you know, man is no longer on the high level, the aspirations of Kedusha, that, you know, that we're more idealistic, have not been met, and therefore it's necessary to refashion the world in a more compromised, diluted sense of Kedusha, and therefore the whole relationship between man and animal changes, including Heter Basar, or is it exactly the opposite? Is it that man has advanced, and therefore his clear superiority over his fellow inhabitants of the planet has been established, and from that point of view, it's now permissible, you know, they become a cheftza rather than a gavra, one could say, and therefore, food, not food for thought, real food, food for man. These are two important differences, different perspectives on the nature of this change. For our purposes, again, the important thing is that there's a heter of basar. But the heter basar comes with an important qualification, as we noted, and that is Eiver Menachai. Eiver Menachai is the last of the Sheva Mitzvot B'nei Noach. And if you look at the Rambam's description, he encapsulates this based on the Gemara in Sanhedrin, of course. But the Rambam in Ilchos Malachim, when he talks about the history of Sheva Mitzvot B'nei Noach, so really, we call him Sheva Mitzvot B'nei Noach. The only one that was really contributed in the time of Noach is Eiver Menachai. Right, the rest are based on Baitza, Elokim. The others are all given to Adam Arisha. Eiver Menachai rounds out, this is the last of the Sheva Mitzvot B'nei Noach. That's a coincidence that we, you know, call them B'nei Noach because, that's the last significant individual before Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu is Av Hamon Goyim, that's the beginning of Jewish history. Or is it because this contribution of Noach is somehow significant and defines, in a way, the whole category of Sheva Mitzvot B'nei Noach? And it's not Sheva Mitzvot B'nei Adam, it's Sheva Mitzvot B'nei Noach. Eiver Menachai being particularly then, because it's the culmination of the list, and maybe the one associated with Noach, you know, having particular added stature. Again, I don't want to go so much into that. Maybe one of the Hashkafas here, we can speak more about Eiver Menachai. But I think the idea here is clear, and that is that Eiver Menachai is a limitation on Achilas Basar. If Achilas Basar is some sort of a compromise, or even if it's an advancement, if it can be done properly, but nonetheless, it's not a wholesale heter. The question of Achzarius or the need for Kedusha, some sort of Kedusha, in the context of Achilas Basar, is somehow secured by Eiver Menachai. It's also important to note that the Eiver Menachai of a Ben Noach, which of course Eiver Menachai is asur not only to Ben Noach, but Kal v'chomer to Israel, but there are some differences between Eiver Menachai of Ben Noach and Eiver Menachai of Yisrael. And again, the question is how to assess those differences. But for example, in Behema Tmeya, that's one issue, whether you're mechalik between Tahorim and Tmeim. That's one issue. The other issue is the impact of Shechita, which is our real topic, on Eiver Menachai, even Pirchus, even while the animal is still thrashing around. We'll discuss Pirchus. Already comes up in Tosis on Abbas and Abbas and Chulin. But Behema Shechuta, even Pirchus, is no longer Eiver Menachai for Yisrael, but it would be for a non-Jew. These differences, and there may be more, are technical differences and adjustments based on additional Dinei Yisrael, Shechita being a good example of that. In other words, if Shechita has a certain status of being matir, basar, or giving a status of hafkoas chai, for Yisrael, but it doesn't have that same impact, doesn't have that same effect for a Benoach, so then Mimela, you're going to have an important difference. So, you know, if you look at it, you know, from a distance, it looks like, oh, Klal Yisrael were more Mekel and Avraham and Achai than we are for Benoach. But that's not really true. Just that the legal status of Shechita, which exists for Yisrael and is non-existent for a Benoach, is fully responsible for this discrepancy. Or maybe really there are not only technical adjustments, but a different perspective on the role of Avraham and Achai. After all, Avraham and Achai is the only thing, you know, that qualifies Achilas Basar for Benoach. That's all there is. There's no Yisra Nevela, as we'll get to in a second, and there's no concept of Shechita. And therefore, maybe it's more expansive. Mashal Madav Adome, we discussed a couple of years back when we learned Sanhedrin, we did Dinim, where we discussed the fact that you know, the scope of Dinim for Benoach is actually greater than for that of Yisrael. Last year, we discussed Gnevo Gezela, and the fact that Gezel, Pachos Mipruta, in a Benoach is Chayv Misa, but not so in Yisrael. There are various explanations. So one of the points that we tried to make in both of those contexts was that, you know, one could argue that because the focus of Benoach is so much more limited, therefore every thing that is Asur is magnified. And therefore, you know, these what looks like kulas aren't really kulas. They're a function of the chomer hadavar. That's one aspect of it. Second is that there's always this element of adjustment, like I mentioned. And the third is that maybe in the context, in the overall context of a benoach, the role of shevet b'nei noach played just a different role, and different to the magnification issue. What is being accomplished is just somewhat different, as we'll explain. But either way, Avraham and Achai is a qualification. It's an adjustment on the Heter Basar at the time of Benoach. It's also fascinating that in that very context, right after Ach Basar Benafsho Domelo Tochelu and Ach Esdimchem Lenafsho Sechem Edrosh Miad Kolchai Edroshenu Miad Adam Miad Ishachiv is murder. You know, it's almost like the Torah thought that, you know, because there's going to be a Heter Achilas Basar, that somehow that will, you know, open the floodgates to, you know, to things like murder, to the Tselem Elokim, in other words, being diluted and compromised. And the Torah wants you to know that there's a Heter Basar, but the Chiyuv of Misa, Shofech Dam Adam, Ba'adam Damo Yishafech, Ki B'Tselem Elokim, Asasam, the reiteration of the concept of Tselem Elokim, and especially as expressed in its most obvious and basic way, is something the Torah finds it necessary to do in the context of Heter Basar. Which means that one of two things, are probably both, and that is that one could have misconstrued the Heter of Basar, and that one shouldn't. Well, that also means that the Heter of Basar itself has to be accomplished in a method of Kedusha, I think, is the more ambitious interpretation. That's one could say that what Torah is telling us is, this is a kind of concession and a compromise, but don't go further than this. Avraham and Achai is Asur, Dam is Asur, Tzelem Elokim is fully intact, murder is heinous, is as heinous a crime as it ever was. Don't get any wrong ideas. Or, what we're saying is even a little more ambitious than that. What we're saying is, Tzelem Elokim is intact, and murder is intact, and Avraham and Achai and Dam, all these things are there also in order to establish that the Heter of Achilas Basar is not really a dilution or a compromise. It, in fact, can be turned into a Davar Shebikdusha. There are mechanisms or methods of preparing and eating Basar which makes it into a Davar Shebikdusha, consistent with these other things. At least that's some of the questions at minimum that I think one should raise from the parsha in Noach. We do have the word shechita mentioned. We have food preparation mentioned several other times in Bereishis, obviously, but the word shechita itself is mostly absent those discussions. The only time that we have the term shechita actually used, I think, is in the context of the Akedah, which also is just an interesting expression that here in Perek, Parshas Vayera. What's that? Yeah, yeah, the Shachat to Islam, the Ramban speaks about that. Yeah, but that's not in Bereishis.
We haven't
said
Bereishis.
What? Series Yosef. Series Yosef. Oh, yeah, that's Yosef. But before we get to Yosef, correct. But earlier than that, you have the in the Akedah. That's the second one in Bereishis, correct. Very good. When actually, in the description of what the Akedah is supposed to be, the word Shechita does not appear. It's Vayaleu. La'ola, but Vayomer here. Vayishlach Avram es yado vayikach es amacheles. That's the first sakin shel shchita, which we'll be discussing as well. Lishchot es beno. Okay. So again, the Ramban in his Perush al Torah says that lishchot shchita always means shchitas ha'simanim, and when it says vayishchot am, that's kind of a melitza. But he's bothered by that. That's the Ramban himself raises that point. But again, then you have the story with Yod, Bechiras Yosef, very good. And pretty much, again, those references to Shechita. Shechita in a normative context, we then find in the next time, in Vayikra. And that, of course, is in the context of Karbanos. And in a very important context as well. Right in the beginning of Sefer Vayikra, Perek Aleph, Pasuk, or the Dalet, right, the Torah introduces us to Karbanos, the Ola first, Dabra b'nei Yisrael ma'atah lehem, Adam ki akriv mikem, Karban la'ashem, mina behema, mina bakar, mina tzon, takrivus karban chem, im ola karbano mina bakar, Zachar tamim yakrivenu, Pesach ol moed, yakiv osel l'tzono lefnei Hashem, the Samach Gadol Rosh Ha'olav, Nirtzalo L'chaper Olav. That's the Smicha, which comes first. And then comes V'shachat Es Ben HaBakar L'fnei Hashem. Korban Pesach we'll get back to. Korban Pesach, you're right. Korban Pesach. In Korban Pesach, Shechita appears. The Shechita in Korban Pesach is actually even more prominent than it is in regular Karbanos. That's because Achila is Ikar in Korban Pesach. But that's not... in the context of regular Karbanos, in other words, Korban Pesach doesn't appear in Vayikra. Yeah, no, the others I would interested. I'm now interested in the normative context. We have it in the bigger framework is that of Shechita and Karbanos, and we'll discuss Korban Pesach more specifically. But you're right, Korban Pesach you have in Shemos, and you have again later on in Bamidbar. Okay. So this particular reference in Vayikra is very important, as it is the primary context of framework for Karbanos. And not only that, but it's important for something else, and that is the pasuk says, V'shachat es ben ha-bakar lefnei Hashem, V'hikriv b'nei Aaron ha-kohanim es adam v'zarko es adam al-mizbeach saviv asher pesach al-moed. So Chazal learned from here the Sifra al-Atar and the Gemara in Zvachim daf lamed beis. And Rashi quotes it immediately. Mikabal v'eilech mitzvahs kahuna. Lamad al hashchita shekshera bizar. So this, of course, is very, very important. Shechita is a prerequisite for Karbanos. It's one of the Dalet Avodos. We'll discuss that a little bit more. Not so much more, but a little more. Shechita, Kabbalah, Holacha, Zrika, those are the Arba Avodos. They are crucial with regard to Lishma and with regard to Pigul. The first one is Shechita. But even though it is one of the Avodos, it is Kshera Bizar. The question is whether that is significant to our bigger question, which we'll be discussing. Okay, Shechita is Kshera Bizar. There may be an exception to Shechita Kshera Bizar, and that is the either only the par of the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur. That seems to be the view, at least one Tana in Yuma Daf Mem Beis Amud Aleph. Tosis there, we'll get back to this, but Tosis there suggests that that's because you need the Bailim, and the Bailim of the par of the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur is the Kohen himself. In fact, he literally has to pay for that korban. So Tosfos in Yuma seems to indicate that the requirement of Kohen in Shechitas Par, Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur, is not a din in the Shechita per se. It's not an exception, in other words, to the rule that Shechita is Ksher Bizar, but it's a special din in the role of Bailim in this particular korban. The sugya, parallel sugya in Yevamos, doesn't seem to read that way. It seems like it really is an exception to the rule of Shechita Ksher Bizar. We'll hopefully get back to this, or at least mention it again. The Yerushalmi in Yuma, I think Gimel Zayin, has a day that it's not only Par Shel Kohen Gadol, but it's also the Seir. The Seir is a Korban Tzibor, so the rationale of Balei Tosfos in Yuma, which is that this has to do with the Bailus of the Korban, doesn't really hold true as much, at least for the Seir. I think there might be an explanation, maybe if not the Bailus of the Kohen, but at least the role of the Kohen Gadol, as the one uniquely suited to be the makriv of even the Seir Shalom. But again, the extension beyond Par Kohen Gadol to the Seir as well definitely points more in the direction. Rav Velvel wrote a little kuntris on Yane Yuma, and there he makes this aura. He says that according to the Yerushalmi, it seems pretty clear that Tosfos' explanation of why it is that the Par requires Shechitas Kohen Gadol is going to be a problem. Again, I don't think it's a foolproof raya against, but because of what I'm hinting at. But either way, it's something to consider. So there may be exception one or two, either Par Kohen Gadol or Par Besar Shel Kohen Gadol, or maybe they're not exceptions. If they are exceptions, how important is that to an understanding of the rule? But the general rule is that Shechita is Ksheira Bizar, even in the context of Kodshim. That's what we have here. And then, of course, as we mentioned, the Korban Pesach, you also have Shechita, but Korban Pesach may be different in that the Shechita of Korban Pesach is more prominent than the Shechita of a regular Korban. Misha says in Pesachim that the Ikar purpose of Korban Pesach is Lachila. And that dictates, again, we'll speak more fully about it when we go into, after having done the first topic or two, we'll be able to understand and appreciate the perspective a little more. We'll go back to that. But the fact that Achila is more prominent in Korban Pesach than it is in other Korbanos, there are some Farshim who go as far as to say that the Shechita of Korban Pesach, is almost similar to the Zrika, which is the Ikar Mechaper and the defining moment of a Korban, of a regular Korban. The fact that that is so makes the fact that Achila is so prominent makes the Shechita that prominent. And there are certain dinim, special dinim, of Shechita in Korban Pesach, which we'll have to look at as well. But in any case, the idea that Shechita is Ksheira Bizar is very important. At the same time, this pasuk implies v'shachat es bana bakar lefnei Hashem that there's a mitzvah shechita, at least in the context of Korban Pesach. The Rambam does not count a separate mitzvah of shechita in Korban Pesach, although he does count shechita, as we'll get to in just a minute. There are others who do count shechitas, sometimes korbanos in general, and that is the Bahag. The Bahag counts Shechitas Korbanos as one of the Avodos. When you look at the Avodos Bnei Aaron, as they're quoted in Sugin Chulin Daf Kuf Lamed Beis Amud Beis, so Shechita is omitted because Shechita Ksher Bizar. Yet the Bahag counts Yitzikos and Blilos, and when he counts everything, he counts Shechita among them. This is something that was noted already by the Rashbats in the Zohar HaRakia, and is discussed also by Rabbi Ruchem Fischel Perlo in Sefer Mitzvot Rav Sajagon. It's very fascinating that the Bahag does that he counts, despite the fact that Shechita Ksher Bizar, he counts it as one of the Avodos, Shel HaKohen. Actually, the Aderet, in his has little haros on the Zohar Haraki of the Rashbats, and he says, he has a different suggestion. He says, at least for Shlomo ibn Gabiro, let me step back. The Rashbats wrote a sefer called Zohar Harakia, which is his perush on Rab Shlomo ibn Gabiro's. He wrote this, kind of a very gnomic description of the mitzvahs, just like Rab Sajagon. Just like what Yeruchim Feshel Perlo did to sefer mitzvah Rab Sajagon is what the Rashbats, hundreds and hundreds of years earlier, obviously, did for the small but interesting perush of Rabbi Shlomo ibn Gabiro listing the mitzvahs. So the Aderet says he thinks that everybody misunderstood what Rabbi Shlomo ibn Gabiro really had in mind. What he had in mind was particularly the avoda of the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur for his par, or maybe for the sire, according to the Yerushalmi. So that's listed in the avodas. But the regular shechita, which is ksheira bizar, at least from Shlomo ibn Gabiro, did not really mean to count that as a mitzvah. Okay, that's an interesting har. But the Bahag himself and the Rashbats understood from Shlomo ibn Gabiro this way as well. They do count shechitas karbonos as a mitzvah saseh. We'll soon see that at least it's not obvious that the Bahag counted shechitas chulin. It sounds like he only counted shechitas kadshim. The Rambam, on the other hand, did not count shechitas kadshim as a separate mitzvah, even though he did count shechitas chulin. The Yireim counted shechitas kadshim and shechitas chulin together, but as one mitzvah. I don't think I brought it, but I think I have the language somewhere. It's on the Mar Mikomos. Tough Nun Aleph. Anybody else have it? See, Joe was working the computer there, right? I have it. Tough Nun Vav.
Please go on then.
Sure.
You just transitioned from the issue of counting Shchitas Pesach as an independent mitzvah, the issue of counting Shchitas Kadshim.
No, I'm talking about Shchitas Kadshim generally. I'm leaving out Shchitas Pesach. The Rambam on Shchitas Pesach may actually be different. We'll get to that. But let's leave Pesach out for the moment and just treat Kadshim as a unit. I said the Rambam doesn't count Shchitas Kadshim separately.
Okay,
he says, Maisar Karbanos doing... I may have said it, if I said it, I just misstated it. It was a misaseik mistake, not a shogeg. Yireim Simon Tafnun Vav says, Shchitos, that's his mitzvah, Tziva Kadosh Baruch Hu Lishchot Kadshim Bifnim, D'chsev, and he quotes his Pasuk, V'shachad Es HaBakar Lefnei Hashem, ובחולן ציבה לשחות כשירצה לאכול כדכסיב בזבחת כאשר ציבי שיחה. The pasuk which we're going to be speaking about in a couple of minutes, the pasuk in the pasuk in Perikid Beis, pasuk in Rei. So the Yireim actually counts Shchitas Kadshim and Shchitas Chulin, mentions each, but under one rubric. Again, this contrasted with the Bahag, who only seems to count Shchitas Kadshim, and with the Rambam, who only seems to count Shchitas Chulin. The Sefer Mitzvah of Sajagon, Rabbi Yochanan Fishel Perlo, he discusses another mitzvah. The Rabbi Sajagon counts as a mitzvah. Let's see if I took the language down. Second. In mitzvah tzadihei, rachav gevulecha vehitavisa tidshena tovi v'tizba. Okay. Which doesn't need translation, really, does it? I mean, again, that's a good example of what I meant by trying to penetrate the intention of Rav Sajagon in his description of the mitzvah. So what does that mean? So the Rav Yochanan Fishel Perlo has a whole discussion. I think I put it in brackets on the Mar Mikomos because it isn't totally connected to us. He has a very fascinating suggestion in the end. I'll explain, tell you what he says in the end. But first, he's trying to figure out, what does this refer to? What is this mitzvah? After all, Rav Sajagon does count Shchitas Chulin in his Mitzvah Sase. So if he already has Shchitas Chulin, what is this other description, Rachav Gevulecha, referring to these psukim, V'hisavisa, Tadshena Tovi V'tizba, what does that refer to? So he says, lest you think, and he quotes, I forget who, but one source that says, well, maybe there are two different mitzvos of Shchita. There's a mitzvah of Shchitas Kachim, and there's a mitzvah of Shchitas Chulin. So the Sefer Mitzvah Reb Sadigon said, Reb Yechon Fishel Perlo says, so that doesn't make sense to me, even though there are people who say that. He says, it doesn't make sense to me at all. After all, you know, if both Shchitos are mitzvos, then why wouldn't you include them under one rubric? To say that Shchitas Chulin is not a mitzvah at all, and Shchitas Kachim is like the Bahag, he says, that I understand. But once you think that Shchitas Chulin is already a mitzvah, then obviously Shchitas Chulin and Shchitas Kachim are one and the same. Personally, I don't think it's so obvious. Number one, the Yireim who counted them as one spelled out each one separately. And so Ruchon Fisher Perlo assumes that just because the Rambam didn't count Shchitas Kachim, that Shchitas Kachim, Shchitas Chulin are one and the same, basically. And anybody who does, you know, believe in both would count them as one. But in light of the formulation of the Yireim actually does count them as one, but in light of its formulation, and in light of everything that we're about to discuss, in theory, one could have said that there are two mitzvos, and they're counted separately. One in the context of Shchitas Kachim, part of as an avoda, even if it is kshera bizarre. After all, it's still an avoda which determines when it comes to many things, as I said before, pigul and lishma. Indeed, there may be a special lishma dafka connected with shchita. There are actually two sugas of lishma in Zvachim, two main sugas. The first suga is the beginning of the Masechta, where we talk about the regular din of lishma in Karbanos, and it comes up in other places as well. And then there's a Mishnah in Zvachim. Anybody have a Zvachim, perchance? Mem Vav Med Beis. Anybody have a... You don't walk around with a Zvachim? You walk around with Bechoros. You have one? Yeah. With the Mishnah there, Mem Vav Med Beis? Yeah. So again, l'shem shisha dvarim, hazevach, nizbach. So is that, and these, then there are six things. The question is what the relationship is between those two. Again, this is not our topic now, obviously. The Chidushi Agriz has a huge discussion, I think in the one in Ma'isa Karbanos, I think it's the one in Ma'isa Karbanos, Perek Dalid, has a huge discussion whether or not these are two completely different dinim of Lishma or not. But either way, there are Mefarshim on the Rambam in particular who think that the din of Shisha, the Shisha Lishmas, Hazebach Nizbach, apply only to Shchita. They don't apply to Kabbalah, Holacha, and Zrika. Point is that on the one hand, Shchita's Ksheir Bizarre, which would seem to dilute its significance and, you know, portray it more as a kind of a Hechsher in the context of Kachim. Anybody can do it. It's not a real Avoda. You know, it's just something that's a Hechsher. On the other hand, there are also indications in that it is one of the Dalit Avodos and that it's a tone setting, one of the Dalit Avodos, and maybe it have special, unique dinim, if indeed that is Shchita's Rambam about Shisha Lishmas of Memvav Med Beis, that Shchita is not just a Heksha, but that it's much more than that. In the context of Korban Pesach, as we mentioned before, do we have a Rambam Sefer Avoda? I mean, Sefer Karbanos? Anybody? Or just look at the Koteret. Yeah, if you don't mind, thanks. In Korban Pesach, certainly the role of Shchita is more prominent, as I mentioned. One could be mechalik between Korban Pesach and Shchita of Shar Karbanos, but the Rambam does count Lishchot as a Pesach Bizmano, as the first mitzvah of Korban Pesach. Mitzvah say lishchot is a Pesach, barba asa lachodesh. The question is whether the focus is more on the when, and the shchita is more on. If you look in Sefer Mitzvos, you have to look at different lashonos. We're not learning Karban Pesach now, but the Rambam Sefer Mitzvos and the Koteret and Halacha Aleph. Is this mitzvah say really about shchita, or is it about, you know, the avodas hakarban of Karban Pesach? That's not 100% clear. We discussed a couple of years ago, those who were here, was it a couple of years ago already? When we learned Kedushin. So we discussed the fact that there's a big discussion whether or not you need shlichos for shchita. One of the makoros that the Gemara suggests as a makor for shlucho shalom kamoso is the Gemara suggests, you know, maybe look at Gittin, maybe look at Kedushin, maybe look at Truma, and maybe look at Korban Pesach, the shchita of Korban Pesach. There's a huge discussion in the Rishonim, but especially in the Achronim. I think at the time we brought in the Makar Baruch, and then we read that he has a number of simanim on the matter. Is there really a requirement of shlichus in shchita? Is there a din in maisa shchita? Is it just something that has to be done and done properly, but it doesn't have to be done by the bailim? The idea that the shchita, the maisa shchita per se, it's ksher bizarre, but it's still a kind of an avoda that would require even shlichus. Is not so clear. So at the time, I think we suggested the possibility that if you look at the Gemara and the language of the Gemara in particular, and in light of the fact that the Rambam only counts the mitzvah of Shechitas Kodshim Korban Pesach, and the fact that, as we said, the Mishnah already establishes, and there are many dinim that prove this, that Pesach Ikar La'achila gives extra prominence to Shechita. There are people who think that, while generally, for example, Shinui Bailim, which is a Kodshim idea, the Shinui Hazevach, Shinui Hashem, and this is something called Shinui Bailim, if you makriv the Karban, not for the real owner, but with somebody else in mind. Shinui Bailim, according to, not the Rambam, but according to many Rishonim, according to the simple reading of some Gemaras, applies only to, is a psul that applies only to Zrika. Not to the other of all. The Rambam disagrees, as it happens. But there are, it's indicated that by Rashi, at least in Pesachim, that if that is true, the one exception is Korban Pesach, and that's Shalol Leminuyav, which Rashi understands to be Shinui Bailim. If you are makir a Korban Pesach for people other than the Chabura, for which it's supposed to be brought. That that would be a psul bizman shchita in Korban Pesach dafka, because shchita for Korban Pesach is like zrika. That's what I meant before. Bishar karbonis, and you have to pursue this in other issues as well. Again, I don't want to get too involved in the kodshim parts, other than what we need from it. But my point is that in Korban Pesach, the language of the Rambam, some of these dinim certainly imply that shchita is not just a heksher, but it is a mitzvah. As for general karbanos, one could certainly be mechalik, but that's the next place to draw the line. So if there would be, thank you very much, if there would be a shita that would say there are two separate mitzvos, or maybe even three, there's a shchitas Korban Pesach, there's a shchitas Kodshim, and there's a shchitas Chulin, okay, it wouldn't shock me, put it that way. And I think it would be an important shita. So the wholesale rejection by Rabbi Yerucham Fishel Perlo that there could be two separate mitzvos asay, that on the contrary, if they both exist, then they're the same, I don't think is a davar pashut at all. And we'll expand on this in just a minute. It very much depends on how you understand the words kasher tzivisicha in Parshas Re'eh, which we'll get to, but try to keep in the right order. Okay. So basically, what I'm suggesting so far is that The psukim here in Vayikra establish a separate mitzvah of shchitas kodshim. Shchitas Korban Pesach could be part and parcel of that, or it might be separate and even more reason to focus on a separate mitzvah shchita, as I just explained. It's possible that you don't count shchita for either. You don't count it for chulin, and you don't count it for Kodshim. So we have a full range of views on this map. If indeed you count them separately, or you might consider counting them separately, then it implies that the role of Shechita may also be different in each. In one case, it's a mitzvah, it's an avodah, it's a davar shebikdusha. In the other case, as we'll discuss soon, maybe it's more of a matir or more of an israsay. We'll get back to that point. Okay. So this is the reference to Shechita. And then, of course, you have the main psukim, which are in Devarim. In Devarim, in Parshas Re'eh, Parakid Beis, we have two parshios. Now, the context is also very important here. Re'eh, Parakid Beis, is really speaking about chiyuvim in the mikdash, and how crucial it is not to engage in davar shebikdusha behavior outside of the mikdash that is really reserved for the mikdash itself. That's what these psukim in Parakid Beis are really focusing on. Ela chukim ha-mishpatim asher tishmru la'asos ba'aretz asher nasan Hashem Elokei avosecha l'chol l'rishta kol hayamim asher atem chayim al ha'adama. We're being told about how Eretz Yisrael has to, you know, be purged of avodah zarah, and lo tasim kein l'Hashem Elokeichem ki im al hamakom asher yivchar Hashem Elokeichem mikol shivteichem l'asum eshemo sham l'shichta l'sidur shuvasa shama. Here's where we speak about Eretz Yisrael and Yerushalayim. The makom hamikdash is a place of the Shechina. Vaveisam shama aloseichem v'zivcheichem es masroseichem es trumas yedchem nidrechem nidvoseichem b'chores b'karchem b'tzonchem b'chaltem sham b'tnei Hashem Elokeichem usmachtem b'kol mishlach yedchem atem uvoteichem asher beracha Hashem Elokecha lo tasim k'kol asher anochnu osim po hayom ish kol asher beinav. The discipline, right, the bama, all of that is out. You have to be very disciplined and focused on the actual makom shel kedusha of the mikdash. Ki lebasam arata lamrucha lanachal asher Hashem Elokecha nosein lach v'avartem es hayarden v'shavtem ba'aretz asher Hashem Elokecha manchil eschem v'niach lachem mikol oyveichem misaviv v'shavtem betach. And then we're told, v'haya hamakom asher yivcha Hashem Elokechem b'ol ha'shaken shmo sham shama taviu es kol asher anochi mitzaveh eschem v'oseichem zivkechem asoseichem trumas yadchem kol mivchar nidrechem asher tidru la'shem usmachtem lifnei Hashem Elokechem, and so on. Yishomer pentala lo secha b'chol makom asher tira. Again, this theme is reiterated again, namely, only kadshim, only b'makom hamikdash. Kiim b'makom asher yivcha Hashem, b'achad shvatecha, sham tale alo secha, sham tase kol asher nokim etzaveka. And then you have, the rak, the exception, the qualification. Rak b'chol avas nafshecha, this is pasuk tesbav, b'chol avas nafshecha tizbach v'yachal tabasar, kibirkas Hashem Elokecha, asher nasa lecha, b'chol she'orecha, hatameh v'hatahar yochlenu, katzvi v'cha'aya. All of a sudden, the rak, which is always a miut, we have an exception to this rule. B'chol avas nafshecha, b'chol she'orecha, katzvi v'cha'aya, there is some sort of a heter of achilas basar, kibirkas Hashem Elokecha. Rak adam lo toklu, then it's qualified again, but just like it was in the time of Noach, right? There's a heter basar, and this basar is outside of the context of kadshim. So just like in Noach, but don't get too carried away, right? There's still an iser of dam, rak adam lo toklu, ala artzish b'chenu kamayim, lo tuchalecha b'shorach, then comes again, lo tuchalecha b'kol sharecha, ma'asa degoncha tirosha yitzarecha. Again, but remember, when it comes to real davar shebikdusha that we insist on, the makom kadosh. So you have this one pasuk, which is an exception. It's qualified even as an exception. What's fascinating about it is we don't know what it refers to. Right? If you were a tzaduki or a karai, and you read this pasuk, so you just probably wouldn't know what it meant. Fortunately, we're neither, and we have Torah Shebal Peh. But Torah Shebal Peh seemed to leave some ambiguity, at least, as to what this might mean as well. The Sifrei Al-Akhtar, and Rashi quotes it, and this is the standard view, is that these psukim, this pasuk, I should say, Rak b'chol avas nafshecha refers to psule hamukdashim. So basically, we're talking about something that was kadshim that developed a mum. It's now psule hamukdashim. It cannot be brought as kadshim. So it no longer needs makom asher yivcha Hashem Elokecha b'chol avas nafshecha tizbach. Tizbach here means tishkat. There is a shchita. Now, is this shchitas chulin? If that's what it means, not exactly. Right? Because it's psulei mukdasha. It has its origins in Kedusha. So we've now said that there's no requirement of makom asher yivchar. There still is tizbach. It's hard to evaluate it. Now, the status of psulei mukdasha in general is a complicated one. There's a heter or achila. I mean, Rashi highlights it in a way. Again, quoting the Sifrei, Hatomi v'atar yochlenu katzvivcha ayal. Right, so Rashi comments, She'ein korban ba mehem, katzivcha ayal. Oh, I'm sorry, I should read the previous Rashi. Rashi says, number one, he quotes the Sifrei, B'mei akosu medaber, im basa taiva, latir b'la akrava seymurim, harei omer b'mokom acher, ki yarchiv es gavulcha. That's the psukim that we're going to get to. B'meza medaber, b'kadshim shenofel ben mum, she'yiftu, b'yochlu b'chol mokom, yochol yiftu al mum, over tamulam arak. Tizbach v'yachalta, ein lecha bahem heter giza v'chelev, el achila al yedei zvicha. Hatame v'atar, lefi shebo mikoach kadshim, shenem ben babasar sheyiga b'chol tame, lo yachal, hutzroch lahatir, shemetame, ashetame rada v'atar ochlim b'ka'ara achas. So Rashi tells us two important things here. Number one, psule hamukdashim are not chulin gemurin. There's still an iser giza and chelev. I mean, there are remnants of kedusha, even though you don't need makom asher yivchar. Secondly, right, it's important to say katzvi v'chayal tame v'tahar, because we might have thought that the origin in kedusha, right, would preclude being matame psulei amukdashim. What's important about both of these points is that we're not dealing with pure chulin basar taiva. And the question we have to ask ourselves is, le'inyan shchita, right, where we're treating it as chulin. So vizavachta now is telling us there's a mitzvah of shchita. Aye, there still are some remnants of the kedusha of psulei hamukdashim. Yes, for those, you know, dinim, absolutely. But not for the heter shchita b'kol makom. So for giza, for chelev, the havamina about tuma v'tahara, but it's wrong. You can eat it b'tuma. Katzvi v'kaya. So this is a regular shchita, or no. What we're saying is, you're allowed to eat it b'tuma. Right? And there is shchita b'kol makom. But don't get too carried away. It's important that this is being told to us, or this context remains that of psulei hamukdashim. It's still a kadshim context. Now, I should also add that I said there was some ambiguity. The Sifrei, and Rashi quotes it, and most of the Rishonim accept it, that this pasuk is talking about psulei hamukdashim. The Ben Ezra and the Rashbam didn't read it that way. Okay, they read it, I guess what they would say is according to Pshat. And they understood that this was a reference straight out to Basar Taiva. Okay, that's important. Either way, the reason the Sifrei didn't read it as a reference to Basar Taiva is because a few psukim later, we have another cluster of psukim that sound very similar. Rak b'chol avas nafshecha tizbach v'achalta basar. I'm sorry, that's what I just read. It would sound the same if it was the same. But the next one, introduced by Ki Yarchiv Hashem Elokecha Es Gevulcha, right? Klal Yisrael becomes diffuse, they become spread out. Kasher Diberlach, Yamarta, very fascinating psukim, just the way they're written. Yamarta, Ochla Basar, Ki Sa'ave Nafshecha Lecha Basar, B'chol Avas Nafshecha Tocha Basar. Okay, this is the whole list. Everybody signed on? Who's going to be here? Somebody's here just for the day. That's fine, but if somebody like intends to be here, anybody want to put their name on? No. Okay. Okay. So again, it's very fascinating. You have this viamarta. You can almost, you know, see the struggle, you know. It is appropriate. It's not appropriate. It gets us back again to Parshas Noach in a way. You know, it's appropriate to do this outside of the context of Kanchim. It's not. It's L'shem Taiva. B'chol avas nafshecha twice. Ki yarchiv. It's an excuse. And then the second pasuk like starts all over again. Ki yirchak mimcha mako. Like you have to repeat it again. Right? Asher yivcha Hashem Elokecha l'asum shmo sham. Right? You're very distant. Second time. Ki yarchiv. Ki yarchik. Ki yirchak. V'zavachta mibkarecha mitzonecha. Asher nosan Hashem lach. I'm sorry, lacha. Kasher tzivisicha. V'yachalta b'sharecha. B'chol avas nafshecha. Again, the third repetition of B'chol Avas Nafshecha. But here, of course, we have number one, Vizavachta. I have to analyze that. Is that a tzivui or a hechsher? And especially interesting, Kasher Tzivisicha. What does Kasher Tzivisicha refer to? Ach Kasher Yeachelas Atzivas Ayol Kein Tochlenu Hatameh Vatahar Yachtav Yochlenu. Again, just like the psukim about Psulia Muktashin. Right, we repeat again that it can be eaten like Saviva Ayol. Rak Chazak Levilti Achol Adam. Again, wherever you have the heter, you have the other side of it, the Iser. Don't get carried away, within bounds, in other words. Ki Hadam Hu Hanefesh Velo Socha Hanefesh Im Abasar Lo Sochlenu Ala Arts Tishbechenu Kamoyim Lo sochlenu, here it's even more expansive. Leman yitav l'chol banecha acharecha ki sasa yashar b'nei Hashem. And then back to the main theme: Rak kodshecha asher yilecha unedarecha tisa basa l'makom asher yivcha Hashem asisa losecha basa v'hadam, etc. It's almost like, you know, the we have a stronger formulation of the iser of dam here, more psukim, more words than previously. Again, the sifrei, quoted by Rashi, says that this pasuk refers to Basar Taiva. This pasuk refers to Basar Taiva. Maybe that's why it's even more crucial to emphasize even more strongly the Iser of Dam. Okay. But that's the reference according to the Sifrei. However, this too is not so simple. Number one, even if it is that reference, we still need to understand what Kasher Tzivisicha alludes to. And here we find two formulations, essentially. One is based on the Gemara in Chulin, Daf Chav Ches Amud Aleph. There the Gemara says that Kasher Tzivisicha is a reference to Halacha L'Moshe Misinai. The words Kasher Tzivisicha, and this is essentially what Rashi picks up on, Alatar. Rashi says, Kasher Tzivisicha. V'zavachta Kasher Tzivisicha. Lamanu sheyesh tzivui bezvicha heich yishkot. V'hein hilchos shchita shenem alamoshe misina. That's based on the Gemara here in Chulin, on Chav Ches Amud Aleph. That's the first part of the Gemara in a couple of minutes, but the Gemara says, Acha Sher Yochel V'Kinim V'Zavachta Kasher Tzivisicha V'Lamed Shenitztav Moshe Ala Veshet Ala Kona Al Rov Echad Be'Of Al Rov Shnayim Be'Behem. So this is a reference, Kasher Tzivisicha, according to this view, is not a reference to the mitzvah of Shechita. It's a reference to the source of the details of Shechita. The when, the how, and the Gemara expands upon this in other places as well. That's how Rashi reads it based on the Gemara in Chulin. That's how the Rambam reads Kasher Tzivisicha in several places, both in Sefer HaMitzvos, Kuf Mem Vav. Second. Kuf Mem Vav. Yeah. We'll get to the rest of it soon, but Hishat Sivanu. No, I'm sorry. Yeah, Hishat Sivanu Lishchot Behema Chaya Ba'ov, Ba'achar Yachel, Ba'sarang, Ba'shalia Heter Ela B'shchita Levad, Ba'mu Amar Yisalav, Zavachnu B'karach Mitzanecha Kashet Sivisicha. Kashet Sivisicha, I'm skipping the first part for a minute. Melamech and Estav Moshe, Aleveshet Alakon, Alrov Echad Ba'ov, Alrov Shnayim Be'behema. Basically, that's a reference to the Gemara on Chavches. And that is also Shitas HaRambam in Hilchos Shechita Perek Aleph. Mitzvah Seishi Yishchad Mishi Yirtzeh Lecha, we'll get to this in a second. The Rambam in Perek Aleph Halach Aleph counts the, or quotes the mitzvah. And then in Halacha Dalid, the Rambam says, Zvicha zu hamur b'torah stam tzarech lefareish osa b'leida b'eza mokom na b'hema shochtin kama shira shchita b'eza davar shochtin masai shochtin heichan shochtin keitzad shochtin mayin advar ma'mafsidin asa shchita miwa shochet. A lot of things to know. B'al kol ha'drachim ha'elu Sivanu batorah v'amar v'zavachta mibkarecha mitzonecha kasher tzivisicha v'achalta b'sharecha sh'kol ha'dvar ma'ilu ha'peh tzivam k'shar torah sh'bal peh sh'hi ha'nikreis mitzvah k'mo sh'biarno b'tchilas kibur zeh. It's actually fascinating. Rambam says the word tzivui, as he explains it, and I didn't bring it, but in the Hakadama to a Mishnah Torah, when the Rambam talks about the interplay between torah sh'b'chsav and torah sh'bal peh, so the Rambam says in general the word tzivisicha or mitzvah has the connotation of Mesorah, of Halacha L'Moshe Misina. So the word Asher Tzivisicha is linked by the Rambam here, is read based on the Gemara in Chavches Amid Aleph, obviously, just that he expands further with it here in Halacha Dalid. And he refers you to the general idea in Hakdama to Mishnah Torah. So Kasher Tzivisicha, according to Rashi, according to the Gemara in Chavches, according to the Rambam, according to the Sefer Achinuch, according to a goodly number of makaros, does not mean, or does not refer to a mitzvah of shechita. It refers to the mesorah that teaches you the details, the definitions of prate shechita. Okay. However, that is not the only interpretation. If you look at the Sifrei, this part Rashi didn't quote, the Sifrei says, Asher Tzivisicha refers to kadshim. It doesn't refer to the details of how you do the shechita. It refers to the mitzvah lishkot. The Ramban in his Perush al HaTorah says this first on his own. He says, he quotes Asher Tzivisicha, Rashi, and then he says, but the simple reading of Asher Tzivisicha is referring to Vayikra, Perek Aleph, Pasuk Dalet. Right? The Pasuk which says, you know, Vishachat as ben abakar lifnei Hashem, which also justifies our having brought it in before. So basically what Ramban is saying, and then he says, and by the way, that's probably what the Sifrei means, and if you look at the Sifrei, that's exactly what the Sifrei says. Asher Tzivisicha in the Sifrei is Asher Tzivisicha Mekadshim. This becomes very important for two reasons. Number one, so then the word Tzivisicha means mitzvah, because otherwise it doesn't mean that at all. So the pasuk is saying there is a mitzvah. Number two, according to the Sifrei in the Ramban's reading on the Torah, the psukim of Basar Chulin, Basar Taiva, are specifically linked with the mitzvah of Kadshim. We discussed before, do you count both? Do you count one? Do you count both but separately? Right? We talked about whether or not you could have two separate mitzvahs. According to the Ramban's reading of Kasher Tzivisicha, it's like the Urayim. Let's say it that way. What's fascinating also is that the Bach, for some reason, anticipated this. Oh, I don't have a Bach. Does anybody have the Bach? The Bach, Simen Aleph, Sif Katan Aleph, in Tur, I put on the Marmakamos, says Kasher Tzivisicha, and he quotes the Gemara in Dav Chavches Simen Aleph, and then he says, However, I don't see why Kasher Tzivisicha can't just be a reference to the Pasuk in Vayikra, Perek Aleph, Pasuk Dalet, B'shacharas ben abakar lifnei Hashem. Right? The answer is, not only could it, according to the Sifrei and according to the Ramban al Torah, it is, which makes his response even more fascinating. Anybody see the Bach? Again, mostly I'm speaking to my own because I want to get the introduction in, but obviously we'll be calling on people and letting them participate. Anybody get a chance to see the Bach? Yet? Okay, you'll look at the Bach. The Bach is very, very fascinating. The Bach says, you know why Kasher Tzivisicha cannot refer to Kachin? Very simple reason. That is, the dinim of Shchitas Kachin and Shchitas Chulin are distinct. After all, Hamisasek B'Kachim Shchitaso Psula. If you don't have the proper kavana, L'shem Shchita in Kachim, it doesn't work. But Gemara says in Chulin Yud Beis, discussing that Gemara, that you know if you you know Katan Begadol Omid Al Gabav, first Mishnah actually, right? First Mishnah in Chulin Yud Beis. Kherishot of a katan, begadol omid al gabav, works. So the Gemara says in Chulin Yud Beis Omid Beis, we'll have to discuss this also, the Rambam paskens this way as well. We see from there that you don't need kavana b'shchita. The Gemara later on in Lamed Aleph Omid Beis in Chulin, okay, we'll discuss this more fully even in the Akdama, says contrast shchitas kachim and shchitas chulin. Shchitas chulin doesn't need kavana. Maybe it needs kavana schaticha. Maybe it needs koach gavra. We'll get to it. We'll see how we understand these dinim. But definitely doesn't require major kavana. But shchitas kachim does. So the Bach is very fascinating. Bach says, why not say kasher tzivisicha as a reference to linking the chulin, the shchitas chulin, to shchitas kachim? The answer is it can't be because they're totally different. One requires kavana, the other does not. Meaning, no kasher between them. We said before, Rabbi Ruchem Fishel Perlo couldn't figure out why would anybody think that there would be two mitzvos and that they would be counted separately, shchitas kachim, shchitas chulin. If they're both mitzvos, then they're one mitzvah. Right? So again, the Urim does count them as one, although he mentions them separately. According to the Ramban's reading of the Psukim, basically they're in two different places in the Torah, but one is referred to by the other, kasher tzivisicha. That's the Sifri's pshat. That's the Bach's suggestion. The Bach's rejection is obviously two different dinim completely. For the Bach, if you were to have two mitzvahs, they would be separate. But of course it highlights what I'm really interested in, which is what is the relationship between Shchitas Kachim and Shchitas Chul. Let me say it in a slightly different way. It'll shortcut some of the discussion, but this is what we're going to analyze a little bit. If there is a relationship between Shchitas Kachim and Shchitas Chulin, one of the things we have to figure out is in which direction is it. If they're two different dinim, it's easy to explain that, you know, Chulin is Chulin and Taiva is Taiva. It's not a Davar Shebekdusha. And what we're talking about is some sort of a Matir or an Isur Asay, as we'll discuss, you know, added on to Nevela. You're not allowed to eat Bas Evim Nachai. And you're not allowed to eat a Nevela. A Jew is not allowed to eat a Nevela. We'll discuss that too. A Gertoshev can even eat a Nevela. Maybe that's what defines a Gertoshev, that he eats Nevelos. A Gerashar Bisharecha Titneno V'achal. We'll get back to that. A Jew, maybe Kedushas Yisrael as opposed to Gertosha, wow, is defined by Yisur Nevela. He needs, it's Asur B'Nevela, and he requires Shchita. But one could say it's a Matir, or it's an Yisur Asay piled on to the Yisur of Nevela, but it's a neutral, secular context. It's Chulin, Kishmo Kainhu, it's Basar Taiva. So if it is, maybe it's not a mitzvah in Minyan Tayag, or if it is, it's a kind of a Matir or an Isur Asay. We'll see the different shitas. We're getting closer to that. However, a Kachim, as we said before, it's a Kiyum, it's a Chiyuv, right? It's an Avoda, right? It's a Pigul and Lishma, and maybe even more Lishmas, and Korban Pesach, whether it's, especially if it's not an exception to the rule, but it shows what's possible. You require Kavana there. It's a mitzvah there. It's a davar shebekdusha. Two completely different ideas. Count them separately and make our mitzvahs. Why not? But if we don't, And we end up saying they're one and the same, right? So how do we understand that? In which direction? Are we now saying, you know, even Shechitas Chulin is a mitzvah? And they're connected. So Shechitas Chulin drags down, I don't mean really, I mean in terms of evaluating its significance, drags down the significance of Shechitas Kodshim. And for good measure, it'd be easy to add, haha, Shechita is Kshera, bizarre. Right? That's not a coincidence. You know why? Because it's the same Shechita as Shechitas Chulin. That's one approach you can take. Or, it's exactly the opposite. If you want to say the Kasher Tzi B'Sicha is connected, or like the Uraim, maybe that's what he had in mind. Shechita Lifnei Hashem. And Shechita Skulin. So it's not because you're diluting or dragging down Shechitas Kodshim, but what you're saying is that Shechita Skulin is a kind of a remnant of or an echo of Kodshim in the context of Chulin. How could there be such a thing? Well, that's the point. I mean, the point is the Iser Nevela and Eber Menachah. There's a Heter Basar. Question is, Heter Basar is a compromise and a dilution, right? Or Heter Basar is because there's a mechanism and a method of transforming Achilas Basar into a kind of a Davar Shebekdusha. And what is that mechanism? Shechita. Kasher Tzi V'Sicha, meaning Shechitas Chulin comes from Kodshim. Maybe in order to expand the impact of Shechitas Kodshim into Chulin, it was necessary to say Shechita Kshera Bazar. Maybe that's the price that you pay in the context of Kodshim. But it's not because Shechitas Kodshim is not important. It's just that Shechitas Kodshim needs to be exportable to Chulin. In which case, Kasher Tzi V'Sicha becomes crucial. Now, could you still say that in light of the Bach? What about the Bach Sahara? Well, like we said before, you know, what we said about Yisrael and Benoach, you know, we can raise with regard to Kohen and with regard to Kodshim and Chulin. Namely, sometimes differences reflect a different level, but it's a quantitatively different level, number one. Number two, it's a function or an adjustment of a larger framework and picture. So it's understandable that there are going to be differences. The requirement of Kavana in Kodshim isn't that it in Shechitas Kodshim. Maybe it's a din in the kiyum of Kodshim generally, in Avoda. But that doesn't mean that it isn't integrated one concept of Shechita in both, whichever direction that is, whether it's the Kodshim impacting upon the Chulin or vice versa. So this is very, very, very crucial. How do you read? This is the pasuk that's the makar, it seems to be the makar of Basar Taiva, according to most Rishonim. How do you read it? Vizavakta is the mitzvah, or kasher tzi v'sicha? Nif kasher tzi v'sicha, is that a reference to Kodshim? And what impact does that have? So again, just to sum up, we have it's fascinating that the Rashi knew the Sifrei, he had the Sifrei, but yet he opted for the kasher tzi v'sicha of the Gemara. And so did the Rambam. Both in Sefer Mitzvot and in Perek Aleph Halacha Dalet. The Ramban, on the other hand, has rehabilitated the Sifrei. And the Bach is just ironic, because that's exactly what the Sifrei says, and yet he opens up the whole discussion in terms of what we're supposed to be thinking about, the relationship here. And in the Mitzvot, obviously, it's a relationship as well. It's not even completely obvious yet. After all, do these psukim, pasuk chav through chav beis, do they even refer to Basar Taiva? So there's another Gemara, that's the Gemara in Chav Chesam and Aleph in Chulin. I know there's a Chulin here somewhere. The beginning of the Gemara. Right, here the Gemara says, the Gemara is talking about whether Shechita la'of is min HaTorah or not. So the Gemara says, Hu da'amar ki aitam. The Tanya of Lazar Kapar, Rebbe Omer Matam, and the Mach Kasher Yachel Es HaTzvi, which is our psukim that we're reading right now, the Chimal Lamadnu Mitzvi Va'ayol, Me'ata Rezabola Lamed, Benimsa Lamed, Makish Tzvi Va'ayol Lepsule Amukdashim, Ma Psule Amukdashim B'Shchita, Av Tzvi Va'ayol B'Shchita. So here the Gemara reads the psukim that we just read, not as a reference like the Sifrei and Rashi to Basar Taiva, but to Psulei Mukdashim. That's a problem. Where would be the makar then for Shechitas Chulin? Or let me put it another way. If these psukim also refer to Psulei Mukdashim, then the Zavachta, which sounds like a tzivui, and certainly Kasher Tzivisicha, are again in the context of Kodshim. On the other hand, there's another Gemara. That's the Gemara on Pei Dalet Omed Aleph, also I gave you the Gemara Makamos, which is more of a Agadata Gemara, one would think. That is, the Gemara here says, here the Gemara tells you when you should eat basar, how much of your salary you should spend on proportionately on basar, etc. Clearly, we're talking about basar taiva. It's talking about these psukim. The Rambam quotes this halacha in Hilchos Deos. I think I put the wrong perek on the Mar Makamos. I think I wrote Dalit. It should have been Hey, this should be Parakei Halacha Yud. Anyways, the Rambam, it sounds like it's a Dindra Banan in Parakei Halacha Yud. I should just mention, Agab, that we're going to finish in like two more minutes, but Sefer Nisrab Sajj, you're going to mention, has another mitzvah, Tzadihei. He's trying to figure out, he's just perplexed, what is that other mitzvah? So he rejected the idea that one is Kodshim and one is Chulin. So what is it? So he has two suggestions, just interesting from a Hashkafa point of view and otherwise. One idea, he says, is that it refers to this Gemara on Pei Dalet Omed Aleph. And basically the idea is eating basar taiva in a halachically responsible and consistent way. Okay, that's my formulation, but that's pretty much what he's saying. He even quotes or makes reference or allusion to the Ramban and Kedoshim of Kedoshim Tiyu in this context. Meaning, you know, alti naval brishas haTorah, not overdoing the meat, knowing when yes, when not. Again, the Rambam in Hilchos Deos there talks about, you know, clothing, eating, food, clothing, and expenditures related to your family. Right? He says you should under-eat, you should over-indulge, you know, your family, and you should your clothing should be, you know, perfectly correspondent to your financial and other situation. That's an interesting ha'ara in its own right. But basically what the Rabbi Yochanan Fischer Perl is reading in Rav Sajagon is the idea of living a life of balance in terms of how you negotiate the gashmius, that's this particular mitzvah of ki yarchiv Hashem es gvulecha, and that's what it refers to. And then he goes on to say that's not a din of basar per se, you know, it's a larger issue, almost like kedoshim tea. That's one possibility. The other possibility he mentions is the opposite. He says, maybe, by the way, to say that first possibility, you have to assume that Limda Torah Derech Eretz isn't just an Eitz HaTova, but it's a Din D'Oraisa. And he marshals a lot of evidence to show that when Gemara sometimes uses the expression Limda Torah Derech Eretz or Rishonim, they mean a D'Oraisa, Kiyam D'Oraisa. The opposite possibility says, the other possibility is, it's almost like a takeoff on Nazir. You know, on the Shita Nazir, that, you know, the Nischayev Achata should seer Asatzam and Ayayin, and it's based on Yerushalmi and Kedushin, that whenever you encounter something, did I write the language of Yerushalmi down? Yerushalmi, the end of Kedushin, Yerushalmi says, we had Rechov Gvulecha Vitavisa Tichena Tovi Vitizba. So, based on Yerushalmi Kedushin, Asid Adam Litain Din V'Cheshben Akol Shara Se'eno V'lo Acha. That's what Yerushalmi says. So some Mefarshim say that refers to Ribui Brachos. Connects it up to the Yeshiva's Masechta, right? You should be Marbe B'Brachos. So there are things that you see that you want to eat and you don't eat them, you won't make as many Brachos. That's a terrible thing. Rabbi Yochanan von Shapiro thought that was not a din d'oraisa. He didn't think that that was very sensible. So he rejects that particular interpretation. So what he suggests is it's not the same as Nazir, but it's Shatzir Zatzim and Ayayin, but it's similar to that idea. Namely, if a person can gain legitimate pleasure out of this world, and he refrains from doing so, it's a lack of Hakara Satov, it's a lack of full engagement, I guess, full proper engagement in Olam Hazeh. That's how he understands this particular mitzvah. The point is, Hashkafa-wise, these are both interesting perspectives. The question is whether they aren't opposite perspectives. I mean, one, you know, celebrating whatever is mutter, and the other limiting. The truth is they're not mutually exclusive at all, as the Ramban's Kedoshim Tiyu is not mutually exclusive. But in any case, the Rambam quotes this halacha, Pei Dalet Amud Aleph, in Hilchos Deos, but it sounds like it's a din Drabanan. But either way, the Gemara sounds at least like it's referring to Basar Taiva. The Rambam himself is complicated for the following reason. In Perek Aleph, Halacha Aleph, the Rambam says, Mitzvah seishi yishchot mi sheyirtzeh le'echol basar behema, chaya ba'ov, ve'achar kach yochal, she'nemar v'zavachta mibkarecha mitzonecha. And then he says, v'nemar v'b'chor balmum, ach kasher ye'acheles atzviv es'ayol, halamarta, she'haya kebehema, she'chaya kebehema, I'm sorry, le'inyan shchita. So the Kesef Mishnah has a very long piece here, where he says, "What do you mean, b'nemar b'bechor b'almum, ach kasher yachel esatziv esai?" That's the same pasuk. That's the pasuk that's referring to Basar Taiva. Why does Rambam say that pasuk refers to b'chor b'almum? So the Kesef Mishnah has two approaches. The first approach is the Rambam. He says, "Yeah, that's because we're all so influenced by Rashi al Torah." That we've all adopted the view of the Sifrei that these psukim are talking about Basar Taiva. But it's not really true at all. After all, the Gemara in Chav Chesem and Aleph that we just read says that it's talking about Psulei HaMukdashim. So the Rambam holds, like the Gemara, like the Bavli, that it's Psulei HaMukdashim. That's the first suggestion of the Kesem Mishnah. But the problem with that is, number one, Nuchos Deos. That's not such a problem, because that's probably the Rambam. Number two, why does he call it Bechor Balmum and not Psulei HaMukdashim? The Kesem Mishnah asks that question. Number three, which he doesn't ask so much, and that is that it's perfectly clear from the beginning of the Rambam that this is also talking about Basar Chulin. Mitzvah Seishu Yishchot Misha Yir Tzalechol Basar Behem Achayav Yov. He's talking about all Basar type. And it's pretty clear from the continuation of the Rambam also, Perek Dalet Halacha Yuzayin and Yudkes, where the Rambam talks about the mitzvah of Basar Taiva, mitzvah zuein and hegis ladoros, he's talking about the Iser of Achilas Basar Taiva, Ela b'midbar bilvad, be'es hetar anachira, and so on. And he quotes, Ki yarchav Hashem alokechos, Perek Dalet Halacha Yudkes, Ki yarchav Hashem alokechos gvulecha v'zavachta mibkarecha mitzonecha, kasher tzivisicha, zui mitzvah no hegis lishkot v'achkach yocha. It's the same language as in Perek Aleph Halacha Aleph. It's perfectly clear, it's talking about Basar Taiva. So how can it be Psulei HaMukdashim and Basar Taiva at the same time? So the Kesef Mishnah is the second answer. He doesn't ask the question from Perek Dalet or from the beginning. He just asks his other questions. He says that maybe there are two types of Psulei HaMukdashim. One is the regular Psulei HaMukdashim, which also require pidyon, and then there's Psulei HaMukdashim of Bechor Balmum, which doesn't require a pidyon. Once the Bechor develops a mum, you're allowed to eat it without pidyon as well. And that's what the Rambam is talking about, is referring to this pasuk. Very fascinating pshat. Okay. Actually, the Magen Mishnah Alatar says it's regular Psulei HaMukdashim. But okay, that's the Kesef Mishnah. But I just want to make the point, and that is, either way, we're definitely speaking about Basar Taiva. So in a way, you have to ask yourself, according to the Rambam, why, maybe it's based on the Gemara, but so whether you should be asking why for the Rambam, or you should be reconstructing what based on the Rambam, doesn't really matter. But the point is that according to the Rambam, what emerges is the psukim of Basar Taiva double as psukim for Bechor Balmum She'ena Tzarech Pidyon. What's the point? Why not just talk about Basar Taiva? But I think that the answer may very well be, even though it does, the Kasher Tzivisicha part of it doesn't work out for the Rambam, because he holds, as I say, both in Sefer Mitzvot and in Halacha Dalet, he reads Kasher Tzivisicha like Rashi did. But the idea behind Kasher Tzivisicha, which is that it's not a coincidence that there's Shkitas Kadshim and there's Shkitas Chulin. And maybe the fact that Shkitas Chulin is a mitzvah isn't disconnected to the role, or not coincidental to the fact that it is also crucial, one of the avodos of, in Kadshim. So even the pasuk that the psukim that introduce Shkitas Basar Taiva themselves are rooted in Tchilaso B'Kedusha. And this, I think, is particularly important for the Rambam based on his Shita, which we're going to discuss more extensively. The Rambam Shita about the Heter Basar Taiva, Rambam is a very unique Shita. That in the Midbar, Shchita only could be done for Shlamim, but there was a Heter Nechira. But just not only day Shchita. The idea that according to the Rambam, Shchita itself is a kind of Dover Shebikdusha that is applied to Chulin. And therefore the Psukim themselves are talking about also Bechor Balmum. Albeit that doesn't require Pidyon because you want it to be a free application to Basar Taiva. Basar Taiva is like Bechor Balmum. Not Bechor Balmum is like Basar Taiva. And again, getting back to Rashi, Katsviva Ka'ayal, the need to be Mechadesh that you can eat a Petuma. So if you're talking about Pesudim Mukdashim, we understand why. Because there still are dinim of Kedusha, lingering dinim of Kedusha, Giza and Chaleb. But how do you explain, according to the Sifrei and Rashi and the Rambam, that Basar Taiva, the next psukim, it still says Katsviva Chayal. You still have to tell him that you can eat a petuma. But if the point is that Kasher Tzivisicha, or even if it isn't based on Kasher Tzivisicha, but the idea is based on what the psukim are also talking about, and the whole context of Ki Sa'ave, Ki Yarchi, Ki Yirchav, is that the Shechita at least is a way to keep things honest and to inject the Dovrshim B'Kedusha on this Ma'is Chulin, so then we can understand Kasher Ye'achel. Let's just finish one more final point. Why do you need the Rambam in Perek Aleph, Halacha Aleph mentions that there's a Hekesh to include Chaya and Behema. With this we'll conclude today and we'll pick up on Sunday. He says, "Halamarta shechaya kibehema l'inin shchita." So the Radvaz asks the question: there are psukim that say that chaya is included in behema. We always know that chaya is included in behema. Why is it necessary for the Rambam to provide a hekesh here? So the Radvaz says, "Avagav dechaya b'chal behema shiny hachad deloksiv behema elivizavachta mibkarecha." That's the first answer. And then he says, Vesu, divizavachta bekodshim ksiv, the chulin yalif mehem, the chaya ina bechal, zvichas kodshim, mishumachi maisel likrachrina. In the context of shchita, chaya is not bechal behema, because vizavachta behema, what do you mean? What do you mean? What does he mean when he says, zvizavachta bekodshim ksiv? The Popsukum are talking about Basar Taiva. But if the Kesemish is right, well, I mean, the Rambam himself says that they're also talking about Bechor Balmum, and that's the idea of a Makor of Kedusha, basically what we're saying is, one would have thought that maybe Shkita should only apply to a Davar Shenitan L'Kadshim, not to a Chaya. Again, this connection to Kadshim impacting on Shkita's Chulin. How does that affect the nature of how we understand the mitzvah of Chulin? That we'll pick up with on the next time. We'll continue with these Marmon comments. Again, anybody who needs a chavrusa wants to stop by right now. Oh, he mentioned to me that you might want to. Okay, good. Until we have...